Psalm 102, verse 1. It says, "Hear my prayer, O Lord, and let my cry come unto thee. Hide not thy face from me in the day when I am in trouble. Incline thine ear unto me. In the day when I call, answer me speedily. For my days are consumed like smoke, and my bones are burned as an hearth. My heart is smitten and withered like grass, so that I forget to eat my bread. By reason of the voice of my groaning, my bones cleave to my skin. I am like a pelican of the wilderness. I am like an owl of the desert. I watch and am as a sparrow alone upon the housetop. I am alone like a sparrow on the housetop." I watch and I'm as a sparrow alone upon the housetop. I watch and I'm as a sparrow alone upon the housetop. Underline that verse in your Bible and in your life. I watch and I am as a sparrow alone upon the housetop. Loneliness and hardness are necessary if you are going to be a candle in the dark. Why? What is a candle? A candle stands alone in the midst of the house, in the midst of the dark room, different from everything else which is not emitting light. And it is alone doing what it is doing. Whereas the bed is not giving light, even though the bed is bigger. The chairs are not giving light, even though they are bigger structures. Food in the room is not giving light. The wardrobe is not giving light. The cutlery is not giving light. The tables is not giving light. The fridge is not giving light. Nothing is giving light in the room. Your shoes in the room are not giving light. But you as a candle, I watch and I am as a sparrow alone upon the housetop. So to be a candle in the dark is to be alone and to be hard. You see, it takes hardness to be alone in what you believe. Yeah. If you are not going to be hard, you may have to bring your paper to resign immediately after this session. You get it? Yeah. I'm talking about two qualities, and I'll talk about them till we finish. Yes. Loneliness and hardness. Yes. Loneliness and hardness are necessary for you to serve God well. You need to know how, and you need to believe in it. You see, what happens is that when you are alone in your belief, you tend to look around and say, "Charlie, I'm going, will you go? I'm going, will you go? No. You're not going? I'm going. Let's go. You're not going. I'm not going." Immediately you're affected. Because he's not going and you are alone in the going and in the decision and in the ways. And you feel odd. Nobody wants to feel odd. You know? But many of God's servants were alone. Recall, they were candles in the dark. They stood alone in their beliefs. And they did not really care that a lot of people were not joining in what they believed. Loneliness and hardness are necessary to be a candle in the dark. And if you are going to be God's candle and God's light, you must be prepared for a certain level of loneliness and a certain level of hardness. So why are you the only one doing this? Everybody is resting in this room and you are the only one, you know, saying what you are saying and doing what you are doing. What is wrong with you? Be like everybody else. And this quality and these qualities bring about a certain level of suffering, because it's far easier to be one of the crowd where everybody looks at you and says, wow, you are just one of us, flowing. But God is saying, you know, I watch and I am as a sparrow alone upon the housetop. Now, I am very sure that there are other churches that celebrate salvation the way we do. But I don't know them. I don't know them, but I'm sure there are some. But you'll find that it's not so common to be happy about pure salvation, joy in salvation. You find out, you know, when you are a candle, you shouldn't be worried when you are alone. Yeah. The things you believe in, the things you do, people are joining, they are not joining. You know, I was in my medical school class alone. I came out of the class alone, the only one. I said, I will not continue the medical. I'm going to serve God. Alone. No specialized, no nothing. Wow. You wouldn't be here. You don't know that you wouldn't be here. Where will you be? Huh? In the forest somewhere. You'll be lost. Totally. So that's what it means to be a candle in the dark. A candle in the dark is not an orangu. Orangus are rebels. I'm talking about shining a light and not bothering so much. Whether, not that you, I wouldn't say not bothering. Not letting it bother you. Because it bothers you. I mean, look. We want to be like others. It's not strange. That's how we all are. Yeah. You get it? But once you decide to serve God, you must know that you are like a sparrow, alone, like a lonely bird on the housetop. And that's what the psalmist will say. He said, I'm alone. Hey, how many have not seen this verse before? I watch and I am as a sparrow alone upon the house top. I'm all alone. Trusting God alone. And all my life in the ministry, I have stood mostly alone in what I believe. Yes. Yeah. That's why we are here. In what I, in music that I want, I believe in. You know, I stood alone. You know, Andre Crouch's music at a point when I, you know, was talking to people, they didn't know what the music. I've always had my own line. I say, you know, this is good. One time, Ida was singing, my wife asked me, do you think people like this song? And I said, you know, I don't know and I don't care. This is what she's going to sing. Yeah. She was singing quiet time. I don't know how to sing a song, but she can sing it. Do you think people like said, I don't know. This is what she's going to sing when I'm here. We have had singers come and say, I don't like these people. This is what I like. You don't like, you go away.
That's it.
Yeah. Okay? You have to know how to be alone.
Yeah.
And stand alone and be hard. You don't have to be soft if you are going to serve God. You cannot be a softy. Yeah. If God sends you somewhere, go. What he says you to do, you do. And you stand alone. Even if your wife doesn't support you, you go. But I pray in First Love Church, you will not have those type of things. Yeah. You don't have to have those things at home. You have to be happy together. Both you and your husband like church. Not that I like church, she doesn't like church. It's not a, God forbid. Yeah. Both of you have to like church and you both have to like your pastor equally. Because that gives you a good referee for your marriage. When he blows the whistle, brah, you are wrong. You don't say he likes you and that's why he's always on your side. Stupid fool. No, I didn't call your name. Did I mention your name? Did I mention your name? So if I didn't mention your name, keep smiling and look straight. Nobody knows that you are the stupid fool. Both you and your husband will like church. Equally. And you both receive the same correction in the same way. Hey, and you go home and say, today I was blasted. And today you were set free. Today was my turn. And even if it's your turn all the time, it's because you are somewhere and you are being corrected all the time. Yeah. You need it. And you must be excited like the girl who was pondered. You have to be happy after you've been blasted. Not that you are not happy after you've been blasted. I remember one of my children, when they were smaller, I lashed them. I lashed him. And then after his face was, what do you call it, looking down. And I called him and I lashed him again. I said, this for the face to go. And if the face has to go. Yeah, because the face is very important, your response. You can't be rebuked and then now you become moody. It's wrong. It shows something wrong with you. Yes, it shows there's something basically wrong with you. You cannot take correction. As soon as somebody says, you can't talk to me that way. You can't speak that way to me. I'm just a member of a church. It's a church we are in. It's not an army. It's not it's a church. So you need to learn how to be a sparrow. Kabashakaya. Alone on the housetop. Alone. All candles in the dark are sparrows alone. You stand alone in the house. You are the only person giving light. Everybody is not giving any light, and you are the only one giving the light. And it's lonely. It's lonely. But it's possible. Amen?
Amen.
Look at our brother here, Clement, come. You used to work where?
I used to work with MTN and then Econet Wireless International.
Yeah, he was top, one of these top guys. And he decided to be a missionary. Yeah. Top guys. Huh? Where's the microphone? Give me the microphone. Where's the microphone? Uh-huh. It's one of these top guys. Yeah. Okay. Decided to be a missionary. An executive director. Yeah. Traveling from country to country. I mean, he's alone. Are you not alone? Are other directors of all these big
at
things,
all,
are they doing so?
At all.
Yes. He's standing alone. Most people who are doing something for God are like sparrows alone on the housetop. But is your wife supporting you?
Fully.
Fully. You say, that at least it becomes two sparrows. Two sparrows. It's not bad at all. Yeah. So, and you must equally like God and the church and the things of God. Equally, you must like them. And you must be ready to be alone. Alone. Hard. Hard. All softness not going to get you far. Yes. Do I have softies in London? After preaching about loneliness and hardness here, I believe I'm going to get some of the hardest soldiers. Yes. And hardness and softness does not come from where you live. It comes from your mind. Yes. Because I don't think British soldiers are softies. I'm sure they are wild. Are they softies? Because that's one of this one right here. I know a couple of soldiers. Are you also a soldier? Are they softies? Why do you say not at all? Microphone.
Basically, we are taught that 70% of our fitness is in our mind.
You see that? I wasn't wrong.
So, not like the Americans when they are on training, they used to sing like for endurance. But the British soldiers, we don't sing at all. We just keep on going, running with our bags, heavy loads on our back.
You run with bags.
Bags. About 50 kilos.
Now, a suitcase is 20 kilos. So 50 kilos is two and a half suitcases. You don't sing.
We don't sing. So the American soldiers, they sing for endurance, just to keep them going. But we don't sing at all. We just go and go and go. So as soon as you lose focus, you just drop down. Because your body gives up. And your mind, if your mind gives up, that's it. So you keep on going, and you go and go and go. As soon as, because I remember when I was in training, I was lacking, I was behind. We were about 50 people, I was behind. There was one of the guys who came to me and said to me that, what if your mom is watching you in a TV, and you're at the back? Hey. Straight away, my mind I was at the front. Yeah, so about 70%, that is what we are taught. So we don't sing at all. We just go and go and go.
No singing, just no moving, singing, no worship, moving. No praises. So they are not softies because they are British. You see, because we have Christians, we are from the UK, so we are softies. Mm. And you realize that it's not UK, nothing. Mm. It's in your mind. Your mind that, we need Sainsbury's. You know, you've been to fight somewhere before?
In Afghanistan.
Afghanistan, you have Tesco's there. You don't have Tesco's.
At all.
You have Sainsbury's in
We don't have anything at all.
Asda.
There's no Asda. There's no off license. Nothing.
Corner
no
shop.
Corner shop. Nothing.
Wow. KFC?
No KFC, Bishop.
McDonald's?
No McDonald's.
Wi-Fi?
No Wi-Fi. Nothing.
No
we
Wi-Fi.
We use lanterns and candles.
Lanterns and candles?
Yes, Bishop. Afghanistan. And torchlights.
Candles, lanterns, and torchlight. In this month. Or you went about 40 years ago. When
no,
did you go?
2009, Bishop.
2009?
Yes, Bishop.
You were there?
I was there, Bishop.
Wow.
No.
Full English breakfast, no?
Boiled in a bag. Food has been preserved in a bag.
Say it well.
It's food that's been preserved in the bag. Boiled in a bag is about 2 years old or something. In a bag. No bathing. I didn't bath for about 3 months.
So those of you who be complaining that your spouse has not been bathing, this one is 3 months. Are there ladies?
Yes,
ladies?
We had a lady, a medic. I think she was bathing, once a week or something. We used to use a lot of baby wipes.
Baby wipes.
Yeah, that's what we use, Bishop.
To bath.
They're just on our just armpits and...
Here and there.
Here and there.
Wow.
No, at all. We use clean film.
You don't use WCs?
You don't use WCs. So clean film...
What's clean film?
It's plastic wrap like the one.
Oh. You mean British soldiers, UK?
Yes, Bishop.
Wow, not African soldiers.
At all.
So UK the soldiers. British Army, how does it rank? Is it a strong army?
It's a very strong army, Bishop. Very strong.
Really?
One of the best in the world.
The world?
Yes, Bishop.
Really? So can you fight an African army?
Yeah, very little. They are small.
They are small?
Yeah, very small.
You see now. So why should it be that the British army in the natural can do so much? And when it comes to the spiritual, it's like, oh, because we are based in the UK, we are not into certain things, you know, we can't do, you know, we are like kind of softies. You see, it's from the mind. Yes. It's from the mind. The mind has told you that. Just flow with, you know, it's for Africans. This is African missions, Bishop. You were talking about Mozambique, you know. You were talking about Mozambique, you know what I mean. But, you know, you mentioned Jinja and all these kind of places, you know. But, you know, these are like your African students. They can go to those places, you know. We're from Britain, you know. We're English, you know. Eurozones. Nonsense. Nonsense. Yes. Yes. Now, you see, even we are having a camp. I mean, you can't go to even a church in Ghana and have a camp like this in most churches. No. Just coming to stand, preaching, talking, and look at the topic. What type of topic is it? Loneliness and hardness. I mean, how can you have such preaching? Which people would like to listen to such things? You see, but we are doing it right here. And it's working. So how many will agree with me that all type of softness and saying that we are UK-based, you know, missionaries, and we are kind of like, we are not the type. Must end in this meeting in the name of Jesus. Yes. If the British army is so strong, they don't bath for 3 months, ready to fight, ready to die. Did some people die?
Yes, Bishop.
British people died?
Yes, Bishop. I lost
white people?
Yes. I lost about 6 of my colleagues.
6 of your colleagues?
Yes, Bishop.
They died where?
They died in Afghanistan.
Wow. With what? Bombs?
Yes, Bishop. And gunshots.
And did they still send more people?
There were more people coming, Bishop.
So after you left, more people went?
More people went. So as soon as someone dies, they bring a replacement.
Does it? That's an army. That's an army. So that someone dies, there was a replacement. Yeah. It's very funny, you know, when you see the church behaving in a certain way. It's so much against how God made us to be. Yeah. And this is what has spoiled the church. A certain softness and a certain refusal to suffer what Christ has said we should suffer. You know? I'm going to read. It says, money gives people the power to steer their lives away from anything that threatens to cause any kind of suffering. That is why money is the root of all evil. Money has been able to change the course of the church. Money has steered it away from places that it is needed most. Instead of the Holy Spirit leading the church to mission fields, the church is being led by an unspoken policy of avoiding trouble, difficulties, or hardships. There is an unspoken policy to avoid difficulties and hardships and troubles. Avoid it. If you see any difficulty, don't go there. And money has redirected the church instead of the Holy Spirit. Yes. But it brings a lot of problems, even more problems. That's why today, all over the world, the church is struggling. Struggling for money, struggling to prevent sin, struggling from turning into an organization that you can't even recognize. Where our own pastors, priests, leaders are completely compromised. Completely. Completely changed. it's just amazing. But it's because we are not guided by God, but we're guided by some other power. But today marks the end of softness. Amen. And I'm thanking God to hear what the British Army does. All right? So, let's look at it again. I watch and I'm as a sparrow alone upon the housetop. Turn to your neighbor and say, fellow sparrow, it's good to be standing by you today. It's going to be sitting by you. Amen. Amen. Now, we continue. Characteristics of a candle in the dark. Loneliness and hardness. Numbers chapter 11. I'm showing you people that were candles in the dark. Moses was a candle in the dark. He was alone. He endured loneliness and hardness. Numbers 11, verse 1. When the people complained, it displeased the Lord, and the Lord heard it, and his anger was kindled. And the fire of the Lord burned among them and consumed them that were in the uttermost parts of the camp. And the people cried unto Moses. And when Moses prayed to the Lord, the fire was quenched. And he called the name of the place Taberah, because the fire of the Lord burned among them. And the mixed multitude that was among them fell a lusting. And the children of Israel also wept again and said, who shall give us flesh to eat? We remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely. Cucumbers, the melons, leeks, onions, garlic. But now our soul is dried away. There's nothing at all beside this manna before our eyes. You know, people are complaining. And Moses is standing alone. The manna was as coriander seed, and the color thereof as the color of delium. And the people went about and gathered it and ground it in mills, or beat it in a mortar and baked it in pans and made cakes of it. And the taste of it was as fresh oil. And when the dew fell upon the camp in the night, the manna fell upon it. Then Moses heard the people weep throughout their families, every man in the door of his tent, and the anger of the Lord was greatly kindled. Moses also was displeased. And Moses said unto the Lord, wherefore hast thou afflicted thy servant? Wherefore have I not found favor in thy sight, that thou layest the burden of all these people upon me? Have I conceived all these people? Have I begotten them, that thou shouldest say unto me, carry them in thy bosom, as a nursing father beareth a sucking child, unto the land which thou swearest unto their fathers? Whence should I have flesh to give all these people? For they weep unto me, saying, give us flesh that we may eat. I'm not able to bear all these people alone, because it is too heavy for me. And if thou deal thus with me, kill me, I pray thee, out of hand, if I have found favor in thy sight, and let me not see my wretchedness. Amen. Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 8. Behold, I have set the land before you. Go in and possess the land which the Lord sware to your fathers. And I speak unto you at that time, saying, I am not able to bear you myself alone. The Lord your God has multiplied you, and behold, you are this day as the stars of heaven for multitude. The Lord God of your fathers make you 1,000 times so many more as you are, and bless you as he promised you. How can I myself alone bear your cumbrance and your burden and your strife? Hey. You know, Moses really suffered. Now that I'm reading this scripture, I'm reading it today at the age of over 50 and having led people for some time, I cannot find something more real than what I'm seeing. So we remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely. Cucumber, melon, leeks, onion, garlic. Our soul is dried away. There's nothing beside this manna. You know, this is how people are. If they get a chance to complain about the most insignificant things, you see how people will turn and gang up against you. That's why sometimes when you want to give people advice and you want to say, should I go to the promised land or should we stay in Egypt? If we leave this promised land and they chase us and they catch us, these guys could kill us. So we'd be better off staying here. So it's like two decisions. What do we do? Stay here, go there? Is this better? Is that better? What do we do? Which way do we go? How do we go about it? And many times you want to tell the people, go this way to the promised land, you are better off. But you think about how the people will complain when there's the smallest difficulty on the way. And because of that, you hold back and say, hey, you know, Pray about it. Whether you want to be in Egypt, you want to be in Israel, you know, just whatever God wants is the mystery of his will. Ephesians 1 verse 9. Pray for the mystery of his will. You wouldn't dare to tell people you are better off being free. Israel is better off, you are better off being in Israel and being your own people than staying here and being molested by these guys. So no, just pray for the will of God. If I tell you, do this, and you do it, by all means, there will be difficulties on every road, including the road to freedom. But there you see, when people are disloyal, the things they can say. And that's why I wouldn't just easily say to you, go here and be there. You have to have a certain mind and a certain heart so that we can say to you, do this. And when your mind is like the soldiers, your mind is hardened and say, whatever you say to me, I believe it is a good thing. That is when you now start to hear clear instructions from God. That's why I say, don't stand here and start saying, oh, send me anywhere but this. Don't let me do that. I can be a missionary, but it must be within the UK. And especially, it must be around London, or especially it must be in, you know, certain places in the Eurozone. It must be whatever. You can't give God these conditions. It means that you are one of these Israelites who is ready to complain till you die. Yes. As soon as something is said to you and there's any problem, wow. That's why some of you cannot marry. God forbid. Because if we advise you, look, one of the easiest ways to marry is to be told, marry. Yes. You see, and people who are married, they know that. Because after you are married for some time, you realize that it's not so special. Being married to a person is not so special. It's not like, oh, you were the one that I was, you know, praying for. You are the angel I was looking for. I mean, some people are IMCs. You know what is an IMC? Ill-married couple. Mm-hmm. Yes, but that's why we have relationships. So that in relationship, if you have all those things, we know that, no, it's not going to work. But apart from that, there's an average way of living and being together. You can be with so many people. Many people cannot marry because of it's in the mind. Just like he said, 70% is in the mind of what is. Is it okay? Everything all right? No problem. No problem. Okay. Yeah. You say, have this one. Nah. When you marry this one, it's like, Charlie, I remember brother so and so. It's in the mind. I remember this one. I remember that one. I remember this. I remember that. So many things. And then you just have to be alone. None of these Israelites entered the promised land. Not even one. Because of cucumber, melon, leek, garlic, whatever. Nobody entered. Talking. Complaining. The weakness of character and mind. Yes. Weakness of character and mind. Yeah. Hardness is necessary. Whatever God has given is good. The whole world can be inhabited. Like all of us here, I tell you, if every person here, every couple here, said, we are going to the world, mention the town, in which part of the world, we go there, we live there. By the way, it takes your whole life. Ministry takes your whole life. Because you know why? Because when you are going to be a candle in the dark, you become a teacher of children. So you always start with children. You don't start with grown-ups. And it takes time for the children to grow. and the children to have friends. So it takes your whole life. So if you think you are going to rush in when you are 40-something and then go and reap people's members, people who already car dealers and people who have money and hotel managers and owners of this and so on, it's not going to be like that. You have to go and start becoming a teacher of children, a guide to the blind. You hold people's hand and say, let's go to church, let's sing a song together. William Carey and all these great missionaries, what did they achieve? Just few people. But they have to start from nothing. Yeah. Years before they had one convert. Yeah. So being alone. Look, all anybody outside, they should come in, right? They shouldn't stay outside. All right? Any awesome preacher, you can come in. It's not a problem. All right. We just need hardness. Yes, no complaining. If you ask me, what is one of the greatest difficulties on the mission field is when people start complaining and when people's marriages, you have one side not flowing. Yeah, because you see that you are happy to be there, but your whoever is not happy to be there. Yeah. Yeah, whoever is not happy to be there. She's got another mind. A face has come. An attitude has come. That's why when we pond you, we expect you to be excited. If you are ever pondered, I don't know if you'll be pondered today, but if you are ever pondered, you must be very joyful that you've been pondered, thankful and grateful that you've been pondered. Huh? Yeah. So, you need to be ready for hardness. Hardness. And you need to tell yourself, I can live without watermelons. Can you stay with this world without watermelon till you die? How many can stay without a watermelon? Abba. How many can stay without Tesco's and Sainsbury's till you die? Raise your hand if you can, on this side, this side. Those at the back, can you stay without watermelons and Sainsbury's till you die? Yes. So, Moses was a candle in the dark. He was alone versus everybody. Him versus all the people. That's what it means to be a candle in the dark. You are alone and everybody is of the opinion that you should go back. And that it's a mistake. But you have a mind that we are going. We are going. God says go here and this is what must be done. That must be your heart's resolve. And you see me, I keep on encouraging people, but I'm not leaving Ghana. But if God wants me to leave Ghana, I would. Oh, yeah. But I'm here. I'm where I am. Because I believe this is where God wants me to be. Yeah. And I believe the best place for you to be is where God wants you to be. Even if everybody else doesn't want. Remember that the masses, they are very fickle and very... I don't know what word. You are English people. You should know the word. You know, they are light. Light. Ready to go this way, that way, that way. Nothing deep. And that's why elections are almost an unfortunate way of choosing the right person. Because you have all people who don't know they are left from their right, choosing who should manage the economy, which they don't understand. You get what I'm saying? I mean, I'm sure this Brexit thing that you guys voted, I'm sure you didn't know what you were voting for. I don't think most of us understand the agreements that they have and the contracts. We don't know NATO. And just said, do you want to be in or out? Out, in, out, in. And then that's it. And I'm sure you still don't know what it means. They still don't know NATO. So you must decide, I'm ready to be alone. Moses said, I cannot bear these people alone. He was feeling the pressure of standing alone. So you must be alone in your family. Don't worry if you are the only one in your family. Later on, they're going to come and join you and say, wow.
Amen.
Don't worry if you are the only one in your family. I mean, your family, you are four. And you are alone amongst four and you are worried. People are alone among 2 million. But Moses was versus 2 million. Moses versus 2 million. And you are versus three brothers and sisters. Three of you, and so you make up four. And you are struggling. So, oh, in my family, you are only four. Your family. And your auntie. And that is a struggle for you. How can you be a candle in the dark? Even your auntie, your mother, your sisters, and your one brother. Six people. And you stand alone just to stand up for Jesus versus six people who are different. And that's a problem for you. That's a problem for you. Then resign now. Bring your paper out. Check with your neighbor if he wants to leave Christ now. Just, you can write, I hereby resign from Jesus Christ. I'm no more a follower of Christ. And just, you can just sign. You are not prepared to be different from just six people. One auntie, one uncle, your mother, your father is not around, your mother, and then two sisters and one brother. These five people in the world are controlling your life. I think you should resign. Is the person next to you resign? Give some paper if they want to resign. Bring a paper if you need to resign now. You can resign from Christ. You know, I have four sisters. When I gave my life to Jesus, my sisters, my father, my mother, while we were in the house, they didn't know Christ. I was alone. Yeah, I was alone. I decided I'm going to serve the Lord. I've never been to such a church before. It was a new type of church experience. Yeah. Whenever we went to church, it was to a church with hymns and all that. And this was a different type of place. They play drums, they do this, they say, wow. Like yesterday when I saw you guys grooving in the praise and the worship, I say, wow, man. I mean, this is the kind of church I want to be in. Yeah. It's not that means so. Da, 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 da. Da, 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 da. Hey! That's what I knew as church. But then, when I found Christ and I came around, I said, people have moved. I said, hey, the type of dancing, hey. You may be alone. Yeah. You may be alone. At your workplace. Yeah. At work, you may be odd. Are you odd at work?
Yes.
Are you alone at work?
Yes.
Yeah, but you are a sparrow on the housetop. All alone. You are a sparrow all alone on the housetop. Yes. No problem at all. One lady, she was all alone at the work. And one day there was an outreach and she went to invite the boss. I don't know why she invited the boss. And you know what the boss said? You want me to come to this afternoon disco? You know, we had disco. I don't know whether you have disco now. Not like nightclub, afternoon club, nightclub, dancing in the afternoon. He just put it on the table and he came. He came. When it was altar call, he lifted his hand. Today is one of our church members, been for many years. You never know. You see, the people who despise you make you feel odd. You'll be surprised how they'll join you later. And they'll tell you, oh man, you know you were right. Huh? You know you were right. So there, you must not change your mind. You must not change your mind only to regret later that you changed your mind. Yeah, you must stand your course. And even in the church, that's what I'm doing. I know my preaching looks odd. I preach about loyalty. A lot of people laugh at me. So what is loyalty? You don't have to preach about loyalty. I want to preach about loyalty. I want to preach about what I can see it in people's minds. They are saying what they are not saying that they are thinking. I have to say it. I have to talk about it. Yeah. So, what is this? Why do you do that? Today God has given us a loyal family. From all this preaching about loyalty, we are blessed with a loyal family. You can go as far as Papua New Guinea. And as far as Fiji, you immediately know that you are in the same church. Yes. You can go to Australia. You can go to the Philippines. You see that you are in the same church. And everybody is happy to be there. We are not shouting for watermelon. We are not shouting for garlic. We are not shouting for leeks. We don't know. What is leek? Do you know what is leek? Tell somebody you should have known better. Amen. All right, sit down. Let's turn to Psalm 102. I like that verse. Verse 6, I am like a pelican in the wilderness. Hey! I'm like an owl of the desert. I don't think these birds are in a group. They're all standing alone. Single birds. I watch and I'm as a sparrow alone upon the housetop. Amen. Now, why does God want you to be experiencing something difficult like loneliness? Isaiah chapter 53, verse 10. It says, yet it pleased. Let's read from like verse 8 maybe. Let's read verse 8. It says, Isaiah 53, he was taken from prison, from judgment. Who shall declare his generation? He was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people, he was stricken. This is talking about Jesus Christ. And how many people were being beaten as they were going to the cross? How many were they? One person, Jesus, alone and hard. Hard. I'm talking of hardness and loneliness. And I'll talk about it till I finish. Yes. Hardness and loneliness. He made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death because he had done no violence. and there was no deceit in his mouth. Alone, the crowds were outside shouting. Ah, ah, ah. He was alone, a candle in the dark. They were shouting. Ah, ah, ah. Even when Pilate was speaking, he had to shh, quiet, quiet. Ah, ah. And Jesus was alone. And Jesus was alone. Verse 10. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul as an offering for sin, he shall see his seed and prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Now, I'm sure you don't understand the English. The English. English wearing clear at the time. But at least you understand the first line. It pleased the Lord to bruise him. Yes. The Lord was actually happy. So how can God be happy when we are suffering? He can be. You know, when my children went to boarding school and they came back with the news of the sufferings that they had experienced, I was very happy to hear. Because when I told them to tidy their room, they will not tidy their room. Their room is so... The entropy. Do you know entropy? The confusion. How many have it in your rooms? And your parents have been telling you. You not raise your hand. I say you not raise your hand. Raise it well and stop pretending. Bishop Richard, when I go, please preach about pretense. Because there's too much pretense here. Yes, those who pretend. There's a lot of pretending. But when they went to boarding school and they were punished for this, wake up, do this. You're trying to wake them up, they are not waking up. And I heard the news of their sufferings. I was very happy. I said, oh God, thank you for. Because when I say something, they don't understand it. They don't believe it. So I realized that even as a parent, it pleased me that they were bruised. Because they change. You change when you suffer. Yes, you change when you suffer. And so it actually pleases God. There are some things that he needs us to go through. Because we are really some way. Yeah. We are really some way. And it is good. I had some people coming full-time ministry. And I sacked them. Not everybody who comes to full-time ministry is able to stay. Sack them. Most of them, almost 100%, came back after going to the world. They now were happy to come back again. Because sometimes when you come early, you don't even know what it is you are doing. Yeah. So most of the people, I can point to you so many people. This one was sacked. This one was sacked. This one was sacked. This one was sacked. And you see the person, you don't even know. Yeah. But sometimes it is the sacking that is, it pleases you to sack them so that they rise up. Because ministry is not a place to come and while away time because there's nothing to do. Yeah. If you want to understand what the full-time ministry is like, if you've ever worked in a bank, a high-stress bank, that's how our ministry is like. In fact, my son Joshua, when he came to full-time ministry in Ghana, he said that he was amazed at the similarities between full-time ministry and when he was working at the HSBC bank. Yeah, he said many things I do at the meeting. He said in the bank, he go for a meeting. He said, You out. You don't contribute. You don't speak at the meeting. So go out. Excuse us. And you'll be informed of the decision. And our church is also like that. So you are not speaking. What is in your mind? You are not speaking. Okay, next time you will not be at the meeting. Go, come like that. That's all. Yeah. Same. But if you've not worked before, you will not know. You think that, oh, somebody is like your father. You see how now you see your father, your parents as good people. But before you saw them as bad people. And who was bad? You were bad. They were not bad. You were bad. Yeah. You were breaking their hearts. Yes. You were breaking your parents' hearts. But it was you who were some way. Yeah. I remember one time I called Joshua, my son Joshua, and he knew he was in Nottingham. And then I said, his voice was very quiet. I said, are you okay? He said, yeah. I said, he said, we are fasting. I said, fasting? He said, yeah. I said, what fast? He said, 40 days. I said, 40 days? He said, Pastor Clement has put us on 40-day fast. I said, okay, bye. And I was rejoicing. I said, my God, you have raised up somebody to train my son to fast for 40 days. I cannot make him fast, but somebody is making him fast. Yes. I was happy that he was suffering. His voice was very soft. 40 days fasting. So you'll be surprised that some of these things are good for your character. Yeah, just to be alone for the first time and just take a quality decision and stand alone. So yeah, this is what I've decided. Is this really what? Yeah, this is what I want to do. This is what I believe in. I believe in this, I believe in that. Because at every stage of life, you have people with opinions. And the majority are usually wrong. So if you don't learn how to be a candle in the dark, you never have to learn how to be right. Majority are usually wrong. Most elections choose the wrong person. Yeah. Most of the time they choose the wrong person. If the right person was to stand up and say, choose me, you get very little. Yeah. The person who can do, who do what is right, very little. Very, very few people speak their mind and say what is right. Just say what people will like. A lot of people want this, so say it. A lot of people want this, so say it. A lot of people want this, so say that. Yeah. A lot of people want these things, so say these things. They will all vote for you. This group will vote. All this group will vote. All this. We've won this group. We've won this group. We've won the Christians. Go to a Christian church. Go to this other group. Go to this other orientation. Go to this other section. This type of people. You've got all these people. That's all. But not what is right. So it takes, it forms in you a good character. When you stand up and say, we are all going for a smoke. I don't want to smoke. We all have our girlfriends. Excuse me. Exception. Yeah. We are all slapping our husbands. No, slap husband. God forbid. We all don't allow them to rule, just rule over us. We are all standing up for our rights. Hey! Equal rights. I said, no, I don't do that. You want to be happy and you believe the word of God. So a candle in the dark is me versus the rest. And it actually pleases God when you go through that funny thing. You know, this story keeps coming to my mind. So let me tell you. I think it happened in England or America. And this lady who killed her mother. She killed her mother and her father, or she killed her father. I think one of them killed her mother. There was a killing. And the person who killed the person was her boyfriend. She told her boyfriend that her boyfriend, my mother is preventing our love. I watch it on television. You know those crime, not crime watch. I think investigation and something, crime and investigation. Yeah, I watched it. Preventing our lives. So she convinced the boyfriend to kill the mother. So the guy came in the night and killed the mother. And then he was arrested almost immediately. And then she was also arrested. Anyway, she was being interviewed. She was wearing her orange uniform, prison uniform. And she was being interviewed. And what happened was she was given a longer prison sentence. I think she was given about 30 years or 20-something years, 30 years in prison. And then the boy was given a shorter sentence. And then so they asked her, how does she feel about all that happened? She said, she feels bad about it and all that, but she feels like it was not fair. I said, why? They said, why was it not fair? She said, because I didn't kill my mother. It's my boyfriend who killed him. But then the interviewer said, but you told your boyfriend to kill. And she said, he should have known better than to follow what I said. Yes. He should have known better than to listen to me. I will never forget those words. He should have known better. You see, what God is telling you, are you listening? Yes. God is showing you that when you follow stupidity and you follow the pressure of the people, one day those very people will tell you, but you should have known better than to listen to what we were saying. You should have known better than to listen to what I was saying. Your very family, who you feel you have to please, will tell you, you should have known better than to listen to the pressure that we were putting on you. You should have known better. When we stepped aside and you stopped drinking and we were drinking, you should have known better when we told you that you should all come sit down and drink. You should have known better than to follow us again. You will be so surprised. Because maybe some of them will turn later and look back and say, but you should have known better than when we were stupid. Why do you follow us? You should have remained as a candle in the dark against the rest of us, and we would have turned around and followed you. You should have known better. I am always impressed when I meet people who are prepared to go through. Because I don't know whether you are prepared to go through, honestly. Are you really prepared to go through being a candle in the dark, to be lonely and alone? Are you prepared? All my sisters are now saved. Yes, all my sisters are now saved. I was a candle in the dark. They're all saved. But at first I was alone. My whole family. My mother didn't know what I was doing. I prayed with my father before he died. I let my mother come to church, gave her life to Christ also. My sisters, they all came. Yeah. But at first I was all alone. Now they are proud of me. My mother goes, everywhere they go, your brother, your son, everywhere. Your son, but at first it was like, what strange cult have you joined? What strange group have you joined? What is this? Whatever. What has he become? He's become a religious fanatic. He's become one of those people collecting money from people. You should have known better than to follow those things. Today, they turn around and they say, wow. We are proud of you. Thank you for helping all of us. So to be a candle in the dark, young man, is to stand up strong. See, this is what I believe. A And I know that I'm going to be old and I'm going to suffer, but this is what I'm prepared for, loneliness and hardness in Christ. Yeah. Loneliness and hardness. And those of you who have tasted certain pleasures and your body has developed certain tastes and certain feelings, I tell you, the hardness to dry out all those feelings, God is giving it to you now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Is it fantastic?
Fantastic?
Now imagine one man versus 2 million people. Moses was wild, though. But God said he was faithful in all his house. So you are going to be the next faithful person.
Amen.
Philippians chapter 1 verse 29. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. Look at it. I want you to understand. It's one of the verses you need to have in your heart as a Christian. Please notice and memorize and italicize and carve out Philippians 1:29. It's a memory verse. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe, but also to suffer. Yes, look at it. Also, you are not only coming to believe. You are called. It is given. You see, it's something that has been given to you. Not only believing. It's not only believing. Oh, we believe. It's not only that one that has been given. You have also been given suffering. So don't reject the suffering. Accept it. And I think it's good we have a soldier. The mind is the biggest place. Because once you tell yourself, I'm deprived, I'm suffering. That's why in Rejoiner's book, if you remember The Torch and the Sword, those of you who've read it, there was a little girl in the vision. And Rejoiner saw her and felt sorry for her. And she said, don't pity me. Pity is a very dangerous thing. Because it lowers your mind's resolve to resist temptation and to fight. Because you feel that you are so pitiful. It's so difficult. And oh, look at me. I'm the only one. Can you see what I'm going through? It's so bad. It's so wild for me. But it's like once in your mind, no. Why should I want to be happy? Why should I want this? I'm okay. I'm all right. Yeah. I'm okay. So, it's in the mind. Your mind must work in a certain way. And your mind must be that. I am here not only to believe. Put my scripture back. Philippians 1:29. For unto you it is given. Huh? For unto you it is given. In the behalf of Christ. All right? Not only to believe, but also to suffer. Yes. It is what? Given in the behalf of Christ. It has been given to you. It has been given. You are not only going to believe, but you are going to suffer. Are you ready to suffer for Jesus? Wow. Suffering makes you close to Jesus. Yeah. Suffering makes you close to Jesus. That's why they form groups for everything. If there's a disease, they form a group. All those with this, all those with this, all those with children who have this, all those with this, all those. Because that problem unites you with people who have the other problem. Same problem. You are united with those people. And so they form groups for all people who have this. Then there's a group for you. Yeah. Because you become closer to people who understand and have similar problems. So when you come to Christ and you, dear, there's no suffering at all. You are so far from Christ. There's nothing you have gone through. What have you been through? What have you survived? Ask your neighbor, what have you been through? What have you survived? Yes. Yes. And Derek Prince says it. He says he was watching a pastor preaching. He has a book called The Grace of Yielding. The Grace of Yielding. And he said he was watching a young man on television. I hope it wasn't me. He was watching a young man on television preaching. And he said, I don't think it was me. I don't think I was on television at that time. He said that, and he saw the person preaching and saying how he had prospered, the ministry was working and all that. And he said, it occurred to him that one day, this person is not going to have to talk about what he's achieving and what he's accomplishing, but what he's been through, what he's suffering. And that the time is going to come for him to have to suffer and go through something. Yeah. And that's going to be what the testimony is, not what he has accomplished. Yeah. Because for unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only believing, but also to suffer for his sake. Stand up. It's time to, we are closing for breakfast. Oh, you had breakfast before you came at 6. Oh, you want to suffer for Christ? No breakfast. Don't say what you... If you push me, you see something, you will not eat till tonight. Huh? Lift your hands. Are you ready to, on behalf of Christ, to suffer something?
Yes.
Lift your hands and just thank the Lord for a great blessing that is poured out on your life. Kala ma shantola babandala babandala baba. Hare mandala babandala bekimandala baba. Glory be to God. Glory be to Jesus. Glory be to God. Glory be to Jesus. Thanks to you, Lord, for your blessing. It is given not only to believe, but also to suffer. It is given. 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 In the behalf of Christ, it has been handed over to you. It is given. In your mind, it must be deep in your mind. Loneliness and hardness. It is given in the behalf of Christ. Mando karamanda libaba. Mando karamanda libaba. Mande talamando ramambarala mamanda libabanda rababanda. Hailame mamonde libekemanda libabanda rababanda. Thank you for blessing us, touching our lives. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.